Hello and welcome to West Tigers Live, episode 28. We don't have the West Tigers music this week, unfortunately, but the sound should be as good as ever. And of course, Tigers MS is with us as always. Tigers MS, how are you, mate?
Good, how are you?
Well, I'm doing all right considering that my team is not where I was hoping they would be this week, i.e. in the finals. Honestly, I don't think I've ever felt this disappointed about my team not being there and this disillusioned about it. And, you know, talking about someone that's basically seen my team make the finals three times in the past 21 years. So I'm pretty used to it. Yet somehow this year it's been hard to swallow. I don't know about you.
Yeah, look, it was expected that they would make the eight at least. And more likely be in the top four as they were last year.
Yeah.
With an arguably stronger roster. But when you do look at what they had for this season and then you really think about it and take away the names and everything, you found they were probably short a few players and probably short a few positional players as well. So, I mean, in a few weeks we might do a full, more comprehensive season review. And we'll discuss it then, but yeah, that's just the preliminary thoughts I've got at the moment.
Yeah, well, we can discuss it in regards to the review of the loss to the Melbourne Storm. We're also going to talk about the struggles of Benji Marshall. Did his lack of form cost the Tigers a shot at the eight this year? Tim Sheens, will he remain at the club in 2013 and beyond? And also, like Tigers MS just said, we will do a full season review in a couple of weeks. Finally, we would do tonight a bit of a preview for the Toyota Cup game, 1v4. It's the Bulldogs versus the West Tigers, the under-20s team making the top eight, in fact, the top four. Good result for them. And we'll preview that match that's being played this weekend. And the last word with RMS is here as our final segment, as always. Let's start with that loss to the Storm, 26-6. It was pretty comprehensive. You know, obviously we both watched the game and just felt that there was a lack of energy, lack of urgency by the players. Maybe they'd already given up when Brisbane won the night before, I'm not too sure. But even the guys like Bo Ryan, who had been brilliant and hardworking all year, seemed flat. And, you know, once again it was a case of such an important game, yet really the players just didn't seem to be... to have their full mind and hearts and energy on it. Tigers MS, you've got the stats there. Is there anything to take away from it?
Look, to be honest, the Tigers have had far worse stats this year in games. Both teams had 50% possession. Tigers completed 27 of 38 sets, while the Storm completed 25 of 39. The total runs were exactly the same on 155, and there was only 100 metres difference in favour of the Storm. There was one offload more by the Tigers, 10-9. His were broke down. I think the line breaks were 7-3 to Melbourne. And the kick metres, Melbourne had two more kicks for 200 more metres, 647-410. Storm had 16 errors, Tigers had 13 errors. The Tigers made 303 tackles, while the Storm had to make 326, and they both missed 36 tackles apiece. The Tigers were awarded 8 penalties, and the Storm 4. On that score, if you just looked at that, you'd imagine the game would be relatively close. But it didn't. It wasn't. The Tigers just didn't seem interested in winning the game, to be honest. And I'm sure that's not the case, but that's what it felt like. Look, we have no business in winning this game.
Perception is reality, as they say, and that was the perception I got. You know, I mean, look, we both sat there on the edge of our seats on Friday night watching the Brisbane Penrith game, hoping desperately that Penrith could cause a big upset. They came really close. It took a lot of energy out of me as a fan watching it. Perhaps the Tigers players did the same thing. Perhaps they too kind of thought that was their best chance, that Penrith would cause that upset and give the Tigers everything to play for on the Saturday night win and you're in. Perhaps you know, they just couldn't come out because, look, you would think they would have everything to play for, but it looked like they had nothing to play for.
Yeah, they just seemed uninspired and unenthused about it all. And that kind of showed in the personal stats. Both Utah and Corabetti ran for over 100. Utah 170 and Corabetti 130. And Aaron Woods and Chris Hynington were the only other forwards from the Tigers to make over 100 metres on the run, which is not great. Yeah.
Not surprising it was those two, but that did it.
Yeah. Missed tackles and all that kind of thing. Look, to be honest, they missed just as many as Melbourne. But I think it was key misses and things like contested ball that wasn't really a big thing. But I do think the big difference came in for Melbourne was, well, they had one of their wingers make 164. That was Cecil Walker. Jesse Bromwich and Brian Norrie, both their props, made over 100 metres. Kevin Proctor in the second row made over 100. And Jamin Lowe and Richard Faiso off the bench both made 100 metres in runs. Mm. So I think just their forwards rolling and eventually, you know, I mean, to be honest, the Tigers did pretty well. They weren't playing well, but they were staying in it till about the 50th. You know, even at the 57th minute when the Storm scored and it was, 16-6, 10 points of difference, there was still a chance. But then from then on, it just, yeah, Storm just ran over the top of the Tigers. But, yeah, they just didn't look right. And there was, yeah, a few players were down. They didn't have Robbie Farah. People, you know, used to say it's Benji Marshall's team, but I think well and truly now Robbie Farah, and this is high praise for a nine, his decision-making from the hooking role makes the backline raids, and that's saying a lot because he's only passing one pass off the... You know.
Although he does spend a lot of time at first receiver for a number nine.
But that inside the 20, he's in it hooker quite a bit, in a dummy half, and him just getting out and creating that 5 metres that he runs creates so much for the Tigers.
Well, it brings us on to the struggles of Benji Marshall. And in fact, an article I read today that Tim Sheens is going to make Brayton Nesta the halfback for next year, which is something I predicted when he was first signed on this show. And sure enough, Benji Marshall will be moving back to 5/8 next year, as long as Sheens is in the role. We'll talk about that as well shortly. But the struggles of Benji Marshall did the lack of his form, or maybe... form's not the right word. Maybe it's inability to convert to that halfback organising type of role cost the Tigers this year, or essentially cost them the top 8 spot.
Look, statistically, Benji was top in try assists and line break assists, I think. And that's beating out guys like Jonathan Thurston.
So that's not just for the Tigers, actually, for the whole league.
Yeah, actually, the whole league.
Wow.
So he wasn't bad in that sense. But I think he did struggle with the extra responsibility.
Mm.
I think he plays best when he's a bit freer. He had to move to 7 because essentially we didn't have a 7, and he was the closest thing to it. If he was there, like, I mean, you saw, this is what I was talking about earlier with lack of key positions. We saw when Louis was there. He was Benji could play that ranging role. He could slot into first if he wanted to control the game a bit, or he could duck out to second receiver. Yeah.
They certainly worked a lot. The operating was a lot better with obviously Louis there and Marshall, like you say, being able to come in and out as he pleased.
And I think maybe that's probably where Marshall plays his best. But that's been a bit of a problem, I think. He played well with when Sirinen was in the 6 role.
He did.
Because Ciro Junior just had the role of, okay, if I get the ball, you know, occasionally I'm going to pass it. Most of the time I'm just going to charge into the fence like a second rower.
Yeah, which where he'll play next year, I'm sure.
Yep. So, Yeah, they had to mess that around, you know, throughout the year with Marshall. And, yeah, I just don't think he coped with the amount of responsibility on his shoulders. Yeah, it was sort of like 2007 all over again, when we had John Morris playing a role.
Did you have to bring that up?
Yeah, but yeah, playing in a role he wasn't familiar with or comfortable in, and Benji was kind of the same. I know they say 6 and 7 aren't any different, but they clearly are different.
Otherwise, they clearly are for the West Tigers.
Otherwise, it'd be the same number, yeah. And you'd have, you know, instead of teams having guys like Kieran Foran and Daly Cherry Evans, you'd have Daly Cherry Evans and Chris Sando, or so, you know, two halfbacks playing the 6 and 7, and you can't have that.
Yeah, it's very rare that it works. I mean, Jonathan Thurston's probably the only guy I can think of that transcends both positions.
To be honest, I've always thought Thurston was a better 6 than 7 anyway. So.
Well, he is, and that's the guy that I thought Benji Marshall could try to emulate in moving to the 7, because Thurston achieved it successfully with the Cowboys and with the Queensland State of Origin team, of course. But now he's back at 6 for both. And... yeah. You know, so maybe that says it all. And Benji, there were a couple of games this year when Curtis Surinam was playing outside him where you thought that he is succeeding.
Mm. But he had some good games. He did have some good games.
But his really, kicking game...
Really good controlling games, but the kicking game, yeah, I agree with
so
you.
So bad.
I think you're about to say that it's highly inconsistent. Some days it's amazing. Other days it's terrible.
Mostly it's terrible. Yeah. Let's face it. I mean, Jonathan Thurston is as good a kicker in the general kicking game as there is, and he's a great goal kicker to boot.
That's why. Yeah, I think it's the clear decision making before the kick is the problem.
You have to be able to set up your team when you're the number 7. You have to be able to tell the guy where to run the time before. And the Tigers are an ad-lib team to begin with, so it's not an easy job to be a number 7 of the West Tigers of all the teams. But you have to know, it's like playing chess, you have to be 2 moves ahead, you have to be 2 tackles ahead. So you have to know before tackle 4 what you're going to do on tackle 5. And he just doesn't know. I mean, one of Benji's greatest strengths is the fact that he doesn't really know what he's about to do. Therefore, how does anyone counter it when he does it?
He does play what's in front of him. And when you're a 7, you're probably on your 5th tackle, your kick is your 99% option.
Yeah.
Where Benji's is... and either is 50-50, I'm just going to see what's in front of me. And then when he decides that he's going to kick, it's not a placed kick. It's just, I'm going to belt the ball downfield and see what happens.
Yeah, so with Braith and Astor there at the 7, playing that role where he's going to be the guy because he's so experienced, he'll be able to basically direct the team around.
Even with the Roosters, he does organise the Roosters this year, even with Mitchell Pearce playing 7.
Hmm. And then Benji will be able to step in when he wants, but... you know, look, it's a make-or-break year for Benji Marshall next year. If he, you know, if Anasta comes, does his job, what we expect him to do, and Marshall still plays, you know, still
average,
you know, it's really altering where his career is heading, because there's no doubt that, you know, for his whole career, he's just looked like he's going to be one of the superstars of the game and always remembered as an elite. But after this year, despite his record, which actually is a brilliant record of most try assists, most line breaks in the whole competition, because he was playing a role he wasn't that familiar with, you know, probably his stock has fallen in that when you're talking that elite level. And let's hope, you know, not only as Tigers fans, but just as rugby league fans, that he can get it back, that Benji spark next year, because he's so good for the game when he's on, just like guys like Thurston are, and Benny Barber, of course, who's been on fire this year. We need to keep moving on. Tim Sheens, the rumours keep going that you know, he may not be there next year. There's a faction of the club that want to get rid of him completely. I believe that basically everyone in the club is under review. Andrew Leeds, the strength and conditioning coach, like everybody. And something that I touched on briefly last week, well, not that briefly, I did say that probably Sheens needs to fire his staff and start again there. And so apparently that is potentially going to happen. Sheens himself has said, you know, that look, if they decide to move me on, then they'll move me on. He said that something out of my control. He basically acknowledged that three finals appearances in the last sort of 8 years or 9 years for the Tigers.
Yeah, probably 10 years, 3 and 10, you could call it.
And it's 15 for him because he had that lean trot with the Cowboys.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But, I mean, that doesn't, to me, that's by neither here nor there. I mean, they're an expansion club. Look at, AFL. I mean, yeah. Gold Coast and Greater Western Sydney. You know, look at when the Sydney Swans started.
Yeah.
You're not going to win the comp in your first year. Melbourne did it, but I mean, not in their first year, but Melbourne did win it in their second year. That was almost incredible.
They had a pretty good team.
Yeah, they basically bought their team, whereas the Cowboys set up everything.
Yeah.
And Sheens was such a big part of that because he's so good with the juniors.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to count that. But definitely since 05, the Tigers have deserved to make the eight a lot more than two times.
Well, no, that's exactly right. Since 05, 06 was probably a bust year because Benji busted himself early. He had Prince out for a few games. He had a lot of guys who were out, just out, injured, and also their attitude wasn't right as the end of season kind of thing came around. That was spotted in training. They just, it wasn't enough. 2007. As I mentioned before, they should have made it. They lost to Newcastle, I think, in the last round, if I do recall. Blew a 12-point lead. And then, 2008, I can't really recall. I know they finished 9th or 10th, maybe mid-11th.
It was another one of those mid-table years.
Yeah. But from then on up to this year, they had made the finals, and last season was their best season, placing-wise, third place.
Yeah.
Ever. So.
Well, they look like they're on the up and up, obviously, and that's why they were considered pre-season favourites. And Robbie Farah has since come out and said, we also had expectation. They've always denied that, but he did come out now to say, we did. We expected big things ourselves, and anything less than a grand final berth was a disappointment. So, obviously, it's been a huge disappointment. Does that mean that Tim Sheeds needs to move on? Or is it simply a case of find what's wrong and fix it?
Well, if I were in the position to make those kind of decisions, I would say to Tim, look, you've got this year as a redemption year.
Mm.
After that, after this year, regardless of what happens, whether you win or not, you're on your way. I just think there needs to be a little bit of a change. There's perhaps a bit of comfortability. That's where I think strength and conditioning. When it was Steve Foulkes, I read a few stories where guys in the gym when they were doing some workouts or circles or whatever else he had them doing. Some of the blokes were scared to actually turn on the air conditioner for fear of extra work.
Mm.
So he obviously had the fear in him and it got the most out of him fitness-wise, which obviously helped him out on the field.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's times this year where they look like they weren't fit enough.
Yeah, either not fit enough or just without the drive, which would have been a bit strange.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly thought earlier in the year they just didn't look like they were keeping up. When you look at Canterbury, for example, what Des Hasler's achieved there, and their fitness is through the roof, and they've won the comp, won the minor premiership, I should say.
Yeah.
Sam Perrott came to the club from the Roosters mid-season. They played a big match. He was on the wing, and the commentators noticed he was huffing and puffing, and I think it was the lady that does the sideline commenting for the ABC mentioned, I think he's out of breath because it shows, and that shows the difference between the Roosters conditioning and the Bulldogs conditioning, because that was his first game over, and I thought that's 100% correct. Shannon Byrne. And I thought she was 100% correct.
It could be, and that could be a big part of it in terms of just getting hardened for the games.
Absolutely. When you got the sort of talent the Tigers have on their roster, then, you know, you got to... The talent's not in question. It's things like the drive and you know, yeah, those issues.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Well, we'll definitely review the show in great... review the season on our final show. It's not going to be next week. You can, of course, catch NRL live each and every week at PaulieGSports.com. But we will take a week or two off, and hopefully, when we do it, it might reside in the under-20s team in a grand final. They are in the top four. They're playing the Bulldogs. I believe it's this Friday night before the main game.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's going to be a huge game. Jacob Miller kind of leads the way there. He played that one game halfback, I think, against Canberra at the start of the year in the first grade team. Didn't kind of cut it, mainly because he missed seven tackles. But I tell you, at that Toyota Cup level, he's devastatingly dangerous. And a lot of other good young players. Obviously, Marika Corriabetti came through that ranks. I haven't seen the team. I don't know if it's been named yet. They have different...
I think it might have been named. I'll just have a quick look for it.
Yeah, because I don't know if they have the same restrictions that they have to name it on the Tuesday like the first grade team does. But it would be interesting to see if Corriabetti is eligible. Usually the eligibility is, say, you know, three of the last six or five of the last ten. So potentially he will be eligible, which would be a huge boost for the team. Look, whether they can beat the first place Bulldogs, I don't know. I mean, the Bulldogs are having a great season in all forms for their club. Tigers were leading the comp earlier in the year before Curtis Sirenen got called up and then obviously injured out for the season. That was a big blow for them. But they've still got a good team there. Todd Payton's done a terrific job with the under-20s team. And when you speak about potential replacements for Tim Sheens, if they were to go that way, probably in-house could be just as successful. Although I think if they were get to go with a Todd Payton, they might want to move Tim Sheens to coaching director, something Tigers MS suggested last week. But nonetheless, Todd Payton's done a good job with those boys, and I think that the Tigers can certainly get a win this Friday night. It will be tough away game. Obviously, a lot of Bulldogs fans will get there early to see their team play the arch nemesis in Manly and watch that Dogs-Tigers under-20s clash. But it'll be a good test for the boys. Either way, it's not a sudden-death game. They'll get another shot the following week if they do lose, and it's just going to be good to have a team that we can still follow during this final series. No, hopefully they can go far.
That's exactly right. You've got a... I'm not sure what happened to Rudolph Mania, who was the... he's on... I think he's on the wing. He is the leading point scorer for the comp.
Yeah, right.
So he was... he was quite a good... he played quite a good season. Curtis Rowe is back. He's going well. You obviously mentioned Jake Miller before. Their prop, Moisi Fotokua. He looks like he could play first grade quite easily. He is a gigantic man.
Now, it's Matt Grote, who actually got picked for New South Wales on the 20s team earlier this year. Is he playing? I know he was injured.
He broke his thumb.
So he's still out.
And I think he's still gone.
That's a big blow for them too.
Yeah. Because he was, I mean, obviously really good form, even in the first grade. Like, you know, he's obviously under the pump, but it's there, but he did pretty well, I thought.
For a guy his age, he did do well, and he's certainly a player of the future. And if he can get back in this final series, he could be of good assistance for the Tigers making a run.
Yes, that's right.
Well, mate, I just want to very quickly also mention the New South Wales Cup teams. Balmain Ride Eastwood played Western Suburbs Magpies last weekend. We already spoke about it during the year about whether the two teams should merge. I think we both agree they should. If there was any other questions, they would be solved on the weekend. Balmain Road Eastwood 76, Western Suburbs Magpies 4.
We'll
discuss it in more detail on our season review, but I think that pretty much sums it up, mate.
Well, yeah, they're still throwing up the idea of playing the West Tigers only team in the New South Wales Cup, but they're also thinking of playing the West and the Balmain Road Eastwood Tigers in there as well. So who knows what's going to happen there? It's a bit crazy.
To wait and see. Yeah. And last word time, RMS. There's no game this week. Have you got for us?
Last word is only can be like a slight review of the season, which is which was a lot of bluster with no nothing behind it. had a lot of really high hopes, and a lot of high hopes for new players as well. Things did not go to plan. The first 30 minutes of the season, after the first 30 minutes, we lost our top 17 in a knee injury to young Tedesco.
Yeah.
And then it went on from there. We had Robbie Farrow suspended.
Pete then Galloway.
Then we had Galloway injured. And then
Gareth Ellis.
Then Gareth
Ellis. Chris Hyington
injury. We had a raft of injuries.
Takeri in and out. Utah.
It's not an excuse, but
no. It sums up how the season kind of went.
Yeah. It didn't start well, and it didn't end well. I mean, we got away with a win there in the first round, but I mean, I was talking injury wise. Didn't start well.
No, and five losses straight after that. That suggests a bad start. 1-5.
Yeah. Yeah. 1-5 wasn't great.
A good middle, but not good enough.
No, that's exactly right. They kind of got it together in that middle part, but I think it might have been this. It could be a season to be a catalyst for the next bunch of years, because a lot of those guys would be highly disappointed, because I know a lot of them have a lot of pride in what they do. So you'd think that with Aaron Woods having a good year, you'd think that he's going to improve. Keith Galloway is going to improve. You'd think that Adam Blair will improve. I mean, you don't know where Tim Moulton's going to play next year, but you'd think he'd improve as well, because he had a pretty much a dog of a year, really.
He's a mystery wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a riddle.
That was on the cards from the time he had the big kerfuffle with the St. George contract issues. So, in a nutshell, It wasn't great, and I think everyone's glad to see this season, see the back of this season.
It's in the books. Thank you, Tigers MS. You can catch both of us next week, of course, on NRL Live, but we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Keep checking PaulieGSports.com or our Twitter pages. He's TigersMS78, I'm PaulieGSports. And download the season review when it comes out later this year. Thanks so much for listening throughout the year, West Tigers fans. We hope we've been able to give you some insight through the year about everything, and obviously disappointing that we can't keep it going for another month. But come on, the Toyota Cup boys, maybe we can back a winner there.
Give us something.
Give us something to take the year out. All right, mate, we'll see you later.
See you later.